It's actually a very simple story, how I got into doing wedding films.
Yes, our next guest has received the award for World's Best Wedding Filmmaker in 2020.
He is a true inspiration for all of us, and we are beyond excited to have him here with us today. Anthony Venitis.
For me, it's all about the story.
His films have an unparalleled cinematic feel and manage to capture the raw emotions and facial expressions of the moment in a natural yet precise way.
The majority of people are wondering if hiring a videographer is worth it.
For me, it's a must.
As a worldwide destination videographer, besides the couples, he manages to portray the beauties of each location in the most ideal way.
Destination cinematography actually sounds fun, but you need to devote a lot of time.
I'm Andonis Papadakis, a destination wedding videographer, and this is the Wed Podcast. Follow us on our journey as we unravel beautiful personal stories, share useful tips and tricks, and hopefully inspire you and make you laugh.
Anthony, welcome.
Anthony, nice to see you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Would you mind sharing with us how it all started?
Of course. It's actually a very simple story, how I got into doing wedding films a few years back, I think 2015, 2016, a friend of mine asked me if I could shoot a wedding for a friend of his. I said, of course, why not? I know how to shoot, I know how to edit, so how difficult can it be? The wedding was actually on an island in Greece, on Mykonos. And it's the moment that everything started, because I actually saw how fun it is to shoot a wedding, because you are surrounded with people that are having fun, are laughing, they're enjoying this day, and how fun it was actually and enjoyable to edit the film and see the reaction from the couple. So this was the moment that everything started for me, and since then, slowly I started shooting weddings.
So, why you do what you do? I want to know your why.
My why? I think it's a difficult question, because for me it's all about the story, you know, trying to find and create a story during the wedding day in order to create something timeless and actually create a film that the couple will be able to enjoy for years to come and for their children, etc., etc. So for me, it's all about the moment when I actually deliver the film and I get the reaction from the couple, when they cry, they get goosebumps or anything from their film. So it's all about creating something for them that they will remember forever.
When consulting with a couple, what are the essential aspects to discuss?
You know, this is where the journey with a couple starts, because shooting a wedding, it's not just one day. For me, it's a 1 year process, so which means that
1 year before, in advance.
No, it depends. I mean, it starts for me when you first communicate with a couple, the consultation call, up to the moment where you deliver the film. So it's really important to have a really good foundation and a very good start with them. So when I do the consultation call, I try to create a very relaxed environment with them, because I do destination weddings. Our calls are through the internet, FaceTime, Zoom call, or whatever. And my main goal is to actually listen to them, hear about their story, what they like to do as a couple during a weekend, their expectations from the wedding film, and their vision from the final movie that they want to get. It's really important to understand that the film is about them and not about us, so it needs to be personalized to each and every couple. A key factor for me during the consultation call is to actually be a listener. You know, I let them speak, tell their story, tell their concerns maybe about the wedding film, and hear everything that they have to say. And this is where I create a really good foundation of what they like and what they don't like, and I actually make them feel really, really comfortable and good with me.
How do you ensure a strong connection with a couple before they book your services?
For me, it's all about making them feel comfortable with me as a person.
About the final result?
No, I think from the they see the portfolio, so they know what they will get. It's really important to connect with them, have a chemistry, and make them feel comfortable with me and my personality, because we will spend a few days together during the wedding, so they need to be able to feel comfortable with me. So I think it's most important this aspect rather than the final result, because they know what they will get.
Do they trust you blindly, or any of them have specific requests?
Most of the times, the couples trust my creativity blindly, and they let me do and what I feel at the moment. Of course, we discuss a lot about the process and what they want. But of course, there are some couples that have very specific requests, and I always try to accommodate them according to my style and my possibilities. But if there is something that I cannot do, of course, I feel responsible to tell them from the first call that no, this is not something that I can do, and it's better if they move on with someone else.
Now let's talk about what makes you unique. How will you describe your style as a filmmaker?
Well, I try not to see a wedding film as a wedding, actually, but more of a documentary, because we have our two protagonists, which is our couple, and they're not professional actors. It's just their best day of their life, their most special day, and I try to be as invisible as possible, capturing their emotions, and then adapting a storyline, and my own personal style. My ultimate goal is to create something for them that's unique, and it's more of a movie-like film, and not as a wedding film.
Many couples feel awkward while posing, so they don't like it. In that case, what are the key techniques for posing during pre-wedding or post-wedding shoots?
That's actually very true. Not all the couples like being in front of the camera.
Most of them,
I would say. For me, it's all about creating a comfortable environment for them. I try to talk to them a lot. And I don't pose them, actually. I try to direct them, you know, get them in the mood. Maybe sometimes I put on some music. I tell them what I have in my mind as a scene. And they try to do it according to their own personalities and their own movements. And while they do that, I always move around and try to find the perfect light and the perfect composition. For example, I had once in a destination wedding, a bride calling me 1 hour before the pre-wedding shoot, telling me that she doesn't want to do it anymore because she was feeling tired and she would feel uncomfortable in front of the camera. We had planned for a 3 or 4 hour pre-wedding shoot at a remote location, so we had to drive for an hour. And what I told her, instead of missing and not doing it, I told her, okay, we'll go in a place nearby for just a half an hour, and we'll just walk, have a little chat, and we may get a couple of shots. That's it. You know, very simple and very relaxed. She said, okay, it's for half an hour. And then we met, we had fun, and we eventually spent 4 or 5 hours together, going to 3-4 locations, to the beach, to the village, with a car. And the pre-wedding shoot was amazing, because they both felt very comfortable and relaxed during the shoot. They were having fun the whole time.
There was also the photographer?
No, it was just the couple. And my team and I, so yeah. But what I want to say is that they actually enjoyed it. And instead of the 30 minutes that we said we would do, we spent almost 5 hours together having an amazing time.
Nice story. The majority of people are wondering if hiring a videographer is worth it. What would you answer to them?
Let me answer with a question, actually. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie? Wolf of Wall Street.
Amazing movie, of course, and amazing actors. Okay. Imagine, let's say, this movie. It's one of your favorite movies. Imagine this movie without any movement and without any dialogue, without any music, with just really, really beautiful still images. How would you feel?
I feel nothing, but I can imagine it like this.
So maybe for me this is a way to answer your question. If it's worth it or not to hire a wedding videographer. For me, it's a must. You need to hire a wedding videographer because it's the only way to actually capture the raw emotions of the wedding day. For me, videography adds an emotional, a dynamic layer that photos cannot capture. Also, videography is more candid. You can capture more candid moments during the wedding day. And in combination with the audio, the dialogue, and the music that you choose, and how you combine all these moving images, then you can create something really beautiful that can look like a movie.
In case you haven't done it already, please hit the subscribe button so that we keep growing. Let's go back to our guest. While preparing for the wedding day, who will you contact first from the other wedding professionals? And how would you describe your cooperation with the photographers?
So during my booking process, I actually have a questionnaire for the couple that they need to fill in and provide me with the contact details for all their wedding vendors. And usually the first one that I reach out to is the wedding planner. So if we don't know one another, it's a way to introduce myself and let them know that I will be their wedding cinematographer. And then we arrange a Zoom call to know more about the details of the wedding day. Because it's really important for me to be informed about everything and know the whole process of the wedding event.
So you don't speak with the photographers at the first call?
I actually reach out to the photographer only a few days before the wedding day. Because there is no reason to reach out to them, let's say, 6 months ago. They may forget or whatever. So I reach out to them the week before the wedding day in order to get to know one another. Because I think we have one mutual goal, which is to shoot for the couple. So mutual cooperation and collaboration is the most important thing to have with a photographer. And this only comes with communication and coordination in order to have the best experience throughout the wedding day. So whenever I communicate with a photographer and we have mutual respect, our cooperation is amazing and we have the best of time during the wedding day.
Big question. What do you suggest to a cinematographer that wants to become destination wedding cinematographer? Mm-hmm. What your advice is?
That's actually a difficult question because for me it's all about timing. For me, if you actually want to start doing destination weddings, having a diverse portfolio is the most important thing. And secondly, networking. You need to start networking with people that are outside of your town, your country, and you need to focus on the countries that you want to shoot weddings at. So you need to network there. And in order to build your diverse portfolio, maybe start shooting some style shoots with them, offer to do something for them. So you can have something, have a portfolio in the country that you want to start shooting weddings at. For me, it was a little bit simpler. I was only shooting, it was my second year shooting weddings, only shooting a few weddings in Greece. And out of the blue, one time a couple from Australia sent me a request that they like my style and if I am available to shoot their wedding in Italy for them. Of course, I said yes, I was available, and this is how everything started. So I worked a lot with a couple during the consultation calls to work on the pre-wedding shoot. And I wanted to grasp the opportunity and do the best I could during this wedding in Italy in order to create something amazing that could actually create my destination portfolio. So we had an amazing time during the 3 days that we spent with a couple in Florence, Italy. I learned a lot about destination weddings, about traveling, about organizing everything that needs to be organized. And the result was a film that I actually enjoyed and the couple enjoyed a lot. And this is how my diverse portfolio started. And in the end, this film is the one that actually got me the Best Cinematographer of the World Award in 2020.
Congratulations. Thank you. But I have one question. You make the storyline in the consultation calls. What actually was the plan for the storyline?
Yes, so actually during our consultation calls before the wedding day, we discussed a lot about their personalities, what they like to do on a Sunday morning, what activities they enjoy, why they chose to do their wedding in Italy. And we came up with a lot of ideas. We created a small storyboard. We plan to rent a Vespa or an old vintage Italian car, go and drive through the cypress trees of Tuscany. In the end, almost none of this happened, which is usually the case. And instead of spending 2 days shooting this, we spent only a few hours. But even then, we enjoyed it a lot. We had so much fun. And the final result was amazing and they loved it.
What was your feelings while nothing goes with your plan?
It's not my best moment, of course, but you need to go with the flow, and sometimes you cannot do anything about it, so you need to embrace it and in the moment find new ideas to do the best possible thing that you can. So for me, this is also something that you learn with wedding cinematography. You need to think fast, adapt, and in the same time have the best possible result with what you have.
Okay, so back to the question. You suggest to a cinematographer to be destination wedding cinematographer, it's something easy or have some difficult times while preparing it or actually shoot the wedding?
It's a tricky question because destination cinematography actually sounds fun, and only fun. It is fun because you get to meet new people, new cultures, new places. But you need to devote a lot of time in order to do destination weddings, but not all the time. I suggest to try it, shoot a few weddings abroad, and if it's something that you like, then of course do it.
Okay. So what is your workflow and process for managing large-scale destination wedding productions from planning to shooting to post-production?
Yes, actually planning a destination wedding is a multi-stage process, at least for me. And it all starts with the planning of the travels. Because when I do destination weddings, I travel with my team, which can be a very small team or a big team, so I need to coordinate with them, make sure that everybody has a free date, and then we need to proceed with the process of booking tickets and planning our travels for all the days that we will spend at the location of the wedding. This can include a car rental, travel transfer services, accommodation, food, and of course, maybe to find a way, to find some places to do the scouting later on when we arrive there. So this is about the logistics. Of course, it's really important to be aware of the legal requirements and restrictions of the countries that we're going to shoot at, whether it's about shooting with a camera or even shooting with a drone, where now we have several limitations and we need to be very, very careful about that. And of course, it's really important to be clear with, to have a clear communication with the clients, make it easy to communicate with one another, especially when the clients are at a totally different time zone. You know, we need to make some compromises and maybe have some Zoom calls early in the morning or late at night. We need to be clear about the travel expenses and what they actually are paying us for besides our fee for the cinematography services. Of course, this is a big part, the gear preparation. During a destination wedding, it's not easy to carry everything that we want to shoot the wedding. We need to make sure that we're efficient and compact in order to travel in the best way possible, and always have a contingency plan, because we go to a remote location and we need to have a backup plan in case something happens. Let's say one of our cameras stops working, or we lose a lens, or we lose a luggage, or a luggage with our equipment gets lost at the airport. So it's really important to always have a backup plan.
So how do you cope with such an expensive and heavy equipment while traveling?
I try to make things as simple as possible. So I always carry with me the most essential equipment, which means camera, batteries, lenses, and cards. And I check in the heavy luggages or the heavy Pelican cases that include the cinema light, the light stands, and maybe a gimbal also. So in case something is lost at the airport, I always have the essential equipment with me, and we can start shooting the same day.
So back to the question before about the post-production. Is there a workflow that you are following, or every wedding edit, it's different?
So for me, the post-process workflow starts at the end of the first day of shooting. No matter the time that we finish shooting, even if it's very late, I always back up the footage in two discs at the remote location that we're at, and the next day we start with fresh cards, and again the next day I back up again and again. So when we come back from the destination weddings, I already have two backups, and I split them between the luggages, so they're never both at the same travel bag. And of course, again, the first moment that I arrive at home, I do I follow a very strict backup process, where I backup my footage to two NAS storage devices, which are in two different physical locations. And my third location is at a private secure cloud in order to eliminate any possibility of data loss. Because, as you know, a wedding film is shot once and you don't have the ability to do it again. So the backup process for me is a crucial part of the post process.
So you have a laptop with you
always,
while traveling?
Always. Okay. Always a laptop, and we do the backup every day.
And then you start the edit.
After I finish with the backup process, it's the time where I start the editing. Editing is a long journey for me, because I need to come up with an idea, find the music.
Which is the most difficult part, for sure.
I agree with you. It's the most difficult part, because it plays a very big role in the actual impact that your film will have. So you may have an average footage, but with an amazing music, you can create something really, really beautiful, or vice versa.
So it's like 50-50?
You could say that, yes, maybe. The first thing that I do for my editing, and and everything is based on that, is the music choice and how I blend the music tracks together.
So in the end, what kind of films do you deliver?
This depends on the couple. My main film that I always deliver, it's in all of my collections, is my 4 to 5 minute short film. Some couples only choose to go with this option. Sometimes I deliver a trailer, which is a high dynamic edit which runs at around 1 minute. And of course, a documentary edit, which usually runs from 15 to 20 minutes. And there are also sometimes that some couples want some full edits, which means a full ceremony edit, which is a beautiful multicam edit from several cameras, or maybe some speeches. They want to have their speeches from their friends and family. And after special request, of course, some other parts of the wedding. So we usually customize what the couple wants.
So is there any film that you prefer to start editing with, like the 15, 20 minutes or the 1 minute?
If the couple has opted for the trailer, then I usually start with the trailer. I go through the whole footage, and so I know what I have. And then I create a very compressed and dynamic edit for them to have it in shorter time than usually my 5 minute edit requires.
Do you always buy the latest camera models? You follow the trends, or you just stay with the camera that you know all the settings and you feel safe with it?
For me, it's all about a balance between innovation and practicality. So in order to answer your question, no, I don't always buy the latest camera body model or lenses. If a new camera has something to offer to me and can make my workflow faster and more efficient, then I will buy it. And as far as lenses go, no, I have a few lenses that I'm in love with. I know them by heart. I know how they react. So I never change lenses unless I find something that can truly change what I can do.
Okay. So you don't have, let's say, the latest camera body or about 5 or 6 lenses. So you feel safe that you have all the millimeters and the zoom lenses, etc.
My camera bodies of choice are Sony, because they offer great practicality. They're fast, and the workflow for a wedding is very, very easy. And since you mentioned it, I have too many lenses. I don't know how many. But in the end, most of the time on my camera, it's only one lens. So I can shoot a wedding with just one prime lens.
Which is?
For me, it's a 50 millimeter prime lens because it's a lens that can easily capture what I have as a vision.
So what's the most important thing we haven't talked about and you want to share with us?
I would say maybe the emotional impact and the responsibility of capturing once-in-a-lifetime moments.
I totally agree with you.
All good things come to an end. And this is the end of another beautiful story. Anthony Venitis, thank you for sharing your personal journey with us. And now, in order to keep the circle of all our guests united, I would like to make a question for our next guest. Subscribe, like, and follow the WET Podcast on social media. Stay tuned for more. The WET Podcast is never a bore.